for blessing us with that song. Praise the Lord. To God be the glory. Not any better than that. That's great. So with the beginning of the first new year, you find these things that show up on television, these advertisements that are trying to sell you exercise equipment. I mean, who falls for that, right? I mean, it's like they expect us to get in shape the beginning of a new year. Some of you even run. Some of you are runners. Is there some runners out there? Yeah, there might be some. Anyway, the Bible compares our life here on earth to running a race. And we are to run this race, a race of faith. And we're going to take a look at that in Hebrews chapter 12. If you want to turn in your Bible to Hebrews 12, look at this challenge from the Word of God today about running the race of faith. Stand as we read God's word, if you would. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we pray today you'll speak to us. We want to open up our hearts and minds to receive the message you have for us today. And we're thankful for this opportunity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can be seated. So the author here compares our life as a race. We are to run the race marked out for us. And the picture here is of a stadium that's filled with people in the crowd and then people, runners, down on the track, running the race, so to speak. I know in the ancient time that the Bible was written, they had stadiums and tracks there in Israel where people raced. I've seen the ruins of some of them. And so this is a familiar picture for them and for us to run the race. And we are the runners. We're the ones that are running our race. We're living our life. We're supposed to run a race of faith. And as we do it, we're encouraged to run by a cloud of witnesses, he says. A crowd of witnesses. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, who are these crowd of witnesses? Well, we know that there are people who have faith in God. People who have faith in God. The reason we know that is because chapter 12 follows chapter 11. Chapter 12 begins with the word that says, therefore, which means look backwards to what we just covered in chapter 11, which is a chapter of the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. These witnesses are people who trusted God. In chapter 11, we see these stories of Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and many more. And you can add to that list of cloud of witnesses people that you've known that have gone on to be with Jesus, left this earth and gone on to heaven. They've joined that cloud of witnesses. They too encourage us by their faith. They speak to us. They surround us by their example. They're not superheroes. They were ordinary people. But they trusted God. You know, one of the things, if you're watching any football these days, and there's a lot of opportunities for you to do that right now, not right now, don't, but later. They have this thing when the games go in a certain way and the home crowd, the home team wants more noise, they do this thing. You've seen them do this, right? They want more crowd noise. And it works. The crowd gets louder and louder and tries to encourage the team. And what we're talking about, the cloud of witnesses, is crowd noise. It's crowd noise. It's God encouraging us by the voices of those who have gone before us. It's the crowd noise of faith, people who had faith in God. Can you hear them? They're telling us, keep trusting God. Nothing's impossible with God. God will help you. Don't give up. Keep going. Keep focused on the heavenly prize. God will not fail you. It's worth it to trust God. You can make it with God's help. They're speaking to us. It's crowd noise, heavenly crowd noise. These people who have are people of faith, Hebrews 11, 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God because anyone who comes to him must believe he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It's critical, this faith, and they're our example in that. There are people who have finished their race. These crowd of witnesses are not spectators. They're participants who have finished their race. They've already been out there living their life. They continue to live their life in heaven with the Lord. They encourage us by their example. They know what we're going through, but they made it. They kept the faith. They finished the race. And so their example encourages us. We are challenged in this to do our best. To do our best. There's a legendary story told about the late Bear Bryant, who was the University of Alabama football coach from 1958 to 1982. In one game, Alabama was ahead. There was 2 minutes to play. He put in his slow but steady four-string quarterback and told him, just run the ball straight ahead, and then when you get stopped, just punt. Don't do anything fantastic, just punt. However, the new quarterback stunned the opposition and kept running first downs, first down, first down, first down. He got close to the end zone. He'd never been able to score a touchdown, and he was tempted. And so he completely ignored his coach's instructions, fell back for a pass, and threw a pass for a touchdown. It was intercepted by the fastest man on the other team, who took off running the other way to score a touchdown and win the game. The four-string quarterback got off the ground and chased that guy down and tackled him right before the goal line, saving the game, and Alabama won. After the game, the coaches met at halftime at the half middle of field, and the one coach said to Bryant, how in the world did your four-string quarterback catch my fastest man that I put on the field? And Bryant said, that's really easy. Your man was running for a touchdown. My man was running for his life. The race that we're in, that the Bible's talking about, is for our life. It's a race of faith. And it's about eternal life. We are not racing against other runners. We're not competitors with each other. We are racing for life. We don't race to get life. We race because we have life in Jesus Christ. We're saved by his amazing grace. But we need to do our best in this race. Means we keep our priorities straight. He says, throw off everything that hinders and run the race. So when a track person goes out to run track, they take off their sweats and stuff, and they'll have just shorts and a shirt on when they run the race. They take off everything that's going to hinder them. That's the picture. You don't see a track person running with, you know, a backpack on their back, you know, and running a race. You throw off everything that hinders and run the race. That's the point. We need to throw off everything that hinders us in our race of faith. Maybe there's some things we need to throw off that we're not doing that we need to do. So throw off not reading your Bible. Start reading God's word. Throw off not praying. Throw off not worshiping God, not giving, not serving. Throw off those things that you're not doing and need to start doing those things. Maybe there's something that you're doing that you need to stop doing and throw it off. Maybe stop worrying so much, but trust God. Maybe you're too attached to material things. Throw it off. Maybe you're involved in a relationship that doesn't honor God. Throw it off. Maybe your mind is filled with too many things that just aren't pure thoughts. Throw it off. Maybe you spend too much time on social media. Throw it off. Whatever hinders you in your race, your life, throw it off. It's about priorities. Jesus said it this way, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Priorities. We are also supposed to live a life of holiness, a life of holiness. Heard a story of a man who was trying to get across the bay, and he had an important appointment, and he was running. He had to catch the ferry to go across there. As he got parked in the parking lot, he realized the ferry was already a few feet away from the dock, and he began to run. He says, I can make it. I know I can make it. He ran and ran and ran and jumped over that expanse of water and landed on the ferry, hit the ground rolling, rolled into the steward that was there keeping people back. And he was pretty proud of himself, dusted himself off and stood up. And the steward said, what in the world are you doing? This ferry is coming in, not going out. You You see, you really need to know what direction you're going. You need to know what direction you're going. When it comes to this life that God's called us to live, this race, we run away from sin and we run to God. You need to know what direction we go. Throw off the sin that so easily entangles. Now, sin is going to be the biggest hindrance for us in running this race of faith. Throw off the sin that easily entangles us. And I would venture to say, every one of us, you know what that is for you. You know what the temptations are in your life. You know where you stumbled before. You know where that sin is that can easily entangle you. And the writer says, throw it off. Throw it off. It's a call to live a life of holiness. John, in his letter, writes this. He says, my dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. If anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. He is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, but not only for ours, but for the sins of the world. Throw off that sin. It's interesting that it doesn't say that we are to put up with sin. Doesn't say get used to it. Doesn't say try to conquer it. It says throw it off. Now, when the Bible says to do something, it means you can do it. When it says throw off sin, you can do that. You can resist temptation. There's a radical thought, right? You can resist temptation. Throw it off and run the race. You see, the death of Jesus that we celebrated just a few moments ago in communion is powerful to forgive sins, but it's also powerful to defeat the power of sin in your life, so that you can live this holy life that he calls us to live. We're commanded to never quit. Never quit. Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown is talking to Linus, his friend. He says, life is too much for me. I've been confused from the day I was born. I think the trouble is we're thrown into life too fast. We're really not prepared. And Linus said, well, what do you want? And Charlie says, a chance to warm up first. We don't get that chance, do we? This life that we're living is the real thing. This isn't a rehearsal. This is it, the life we're living. We're commanded to never quit, even though it can be hard sometimes. We are to run with perseverance. Run with perseverance. Perseverance means steady determination. It means running with a determined purpose that will not be stopped. One of the most amazing stories of determination that I've heard of comes from Australia. They have what is called an ultra marathon race, the longest in the world, 543.7 miles. In 1983, 150 world-class runners converged on Sydney for the event. On the day of a race, a toothless 61-year-old potato farmer and sheep herder named Cliff Young approached the registration table wearing overalls and his work boots. At first, people thought he was there to watch the race, but to their surprise, Cliff Young declared his intention to run and requested a number. Cliff Young had grown up on a farm without the benefit of luxuries of horses and four-wheel drives. When storms rolled in, he headed out to round up 2,000 sheep over a 2,000-acre farm, and sometimes he would run 2 or 3 days to complete that task. The incredulous staff issued Cliff number 64. As he mingled with the other runners at the starting line, spectators couldn't believe their eyes. This must be a joke, some mused. When the gun went off, bystanders snickered at Cliff, left behind his work boots and overalls, as the other runners with their sculpted bodies and running gear briskly began the race. Snickers gave way to laughter when Cliff began to run, not like the other runners, but with what could only be described as a leisurely, odd shuffle. All of Australia was riveted on the telecast as they watched the scene unfold. Someone should stop that crazy old man before he kills himself. 5 days, 15 hours, and 4 minutes later, Cliff Young came shuffling across the finish line in Melbourne, winning the ultra marathon. Didn't win by a few seconds or even a few minutes. The nearest runner was 9 hours and 56 minutes behind. Australians were stunned at this event. How did it happen? Everyone knew that to run the ultramarathon, runners run for 18 hours and stop and sleep for 6. This routine was repeated for 5 days. But no one told Cliff Young. and he just shuffled along day and night, night and day, without stopping to sleep. He broke the previous race record by 9 hours and became a national hero. He learned that the most important part of the race was just to keep moving. Keep moving. Now, I want to suggest to you that the Christian life is more like an ultra marathon. It's not a sprint. It's a long race all of our life. And the most important thing we do is to keep going. Keep trusting God. Keep running the race that he's called us to run. Don't be detoured by lesser important things. Don't get off the track. Keep running. We must run our own race. It says to run the race marked out for you. When a runner goes to a track meet, the coach tells him what race to run in. And, they wouldn't put a sprinter in the long distance races because they're not going to do well there. Or they wouldn't put a long distance runner in the sprint. They know what they're gifted at. And they put them in the right race. We are to run the race marked out for us. God knows all about you. He knows everything about you. He knows your gifts. He knows your abilities. He knows your past. He knows your present. He knows your future. He knows everything. He knows what's the best race for you to run, how to live, what to do. You just need to do that. Don't compare yourself with the other runners. Don't say, I wish I could live that life. I wish I could live. No, live the life that God has given you. Follow Jesus, trust him, and see what he'll do in your life. Run your own race. We're also guided by focusing on Jesus. He says, fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Heard about a story of a lady who was learning to drive later in her life. She was so proud of herself. She told her friend, today I practiced going over 50 miles an hour. It was awesome. So excited. And she says, tomorrow, I'm going to practice passing cars and keeping my eyes open. Well, I think it's really wise. When we run this race of faith, we got to keep our eyes open. Amen. Focusing on Jesus. That's our focus. We do that by thinking about who he is. The scripture says, consider him. Who is Jesus? Consider him. Therefore, holy brothers who share in the heavenly callings, fix your thoughts on Jesus, the apostle and high priest whom we confess. Jesus is God in the flesh. Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, our Savior, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, the creator of everything, the light of the world, the bread of life, the living water, the great shepherd. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the one who heals, the one who forgives. He is the Redeemer. Think about who he is. We also think about what Jesus has done for us, what Jesus has done for us. Nabil Qureshi was a Muslim, but he became a follower of Jesus, and he was witnessing to his Muslim friend, Shahar. Shahar really questioned some of the parts of Christianity. She couldn't believe that God would really become a man, be born out of a woman, and live a humble life as a human being. She says it's beneath his dignity for God to do that. And Qureshi asked her the question, let's say, Shahar, you're on a way to a very important ceremony dressed in your finest clothes, and you're about to arrive. When you see your daughter drowning in a pool of mud, what would you do? Let her drown and arrive looking dignified, or rescue her and arrive at the ceremony covered in mud? Her response was very matter-of-fact, of course I would jump in the mud and save her. Qureshi said, well, suppose there's other people with you. Wouldn't you just send someone else to rescue her so you wouldn't get dirty? She said, no, because I love her so much, I would go myself and rescue her. And he said, if you being human love your daughter so much that you're willing to lay aside your dignity to save her, how much more can we expect God as a loving father to lay aside his majesty to save us? God's willingness to lay aside his majesty and become one of us to save us touched her heart, and she became a follower of Jesus Christ. We need to remember what Jesus has done for us. Jesus came to be our Savior, and we just celebrated that with communion a few moments ago. As we run our race, we always remember what Jesus has done for us. Fix our eyes on him. He is our great example of faith. He is the author and perfecter of our faith. Author can mean he's the chief example. He lived a life of faith like no one else. He is the only one that perfectly lived a life of faith when he was here. And he is our example. 1 Peter says, to this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you as an example that you should follow in his steps. He's also the object of our faith. He is the perfecter. The perfecter is the one who carries it through to completion. He completed the work that God the Father sent him to earth to do. He is the object of our faith. There is no other name under heaven by which you can be saved except in the name of Jesus. He's the object of our faith. John writes, these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. He is also our intercessor by faith. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He finished the work. He sat down, a place of exaltation of honor, but also a place where he intercedes for us. He intercedes for us. Romans 8 says, Christ Jesus, who died more than that, was raised to life. He is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. That's great news. We remember that as we run our race. We're also called to finish the race well. Some of you will be familiar with the story of Eric Liddell, who was a famous runner from Scotland. He won a gold medal in the 1924 Olympic Games. But way before that, he was running in a match between Scotland and France. He was running in what was the 440-yard race at that time, and he got knocked down. Instead of laying down, he got back up. Other runners were 20 yards ahead of him at this moment. He caught them and won the race and collapsed at the end of the race. He was so exhausted. Amazing. He just didn't lay there. He got up and finished the race. As we run our race, we're called not just to run the race, but to finish the race. And yeah, you might get knocked down sometimes. Maybe you knock yourself down through sin. But the good news is God will forgive you and restore you back into the race. We need to finish our race and finish it well. Like the Apostle Paul says, I fought the good fight, I finished the race, I've kept the faith. You know, sometimes you get tired when you run, but we can be encouraged by remembering Jesus. He'll empower our running. When we think about Jesus and who he is and all he's done for us, we are strengthened. He gives us strength to run our race. We're not doing it on our own. The Isaiah the prophet caught this idea in Isaiah 40. He says, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They'll soar on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not be faint. Hoping in the Lord, that's another way to say trust in the Lord. He'll help us as we run. Remembering Jesus will encourage our heart. Remember him, it'll encourage you. If you lose heart, it's hard to keep going. But we remember Jesus. Too often times when things are tough or maybe we're discouraged or we don't understand, we think about ourselves and we feel sorry for ourselves and we think, I can't do this. And we see all of our failures and all of our weakness. We need to remember Jesus. Think about Jesus, who can do anything. It encourages our heart if we remember Jesus Christ. So let me ask you this in closing this morning. Where are you in your race today? Maybe you're here today or listening online and you've never really started the race. You've been at the starting line. You've heard the gun go off, but you've never placed your faith in Jesus Christ. Never really started the race. Let me encourage you, start the race today. Receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Begin following Jesus. It's the best life to live, and it's eternal life. Maybe you're here and you started the race, but you're struggling. You know, if someone was watching you on a track, they'd be going, is there movement? Are they moving? Are they running? You know, your spiritual life is just stagnant. You're not really moving, and maybe you need to hear your heavenly coach tell you, come on, let's get going. Let's get going. Start reading God's word. Start praying. Worship. Get going. Grow in your faith in Christ. Maybe you're here and you used to run, but you stopped. for whatever reason, you believe the lies of the enemy, you got sidetracked, and maybe you need to restart the race. And the good news is God will do that. He'll forgive and restore and let you get back in the race. Maybe you're tired and weary. Maybe life's been hard. And you just need to look to Jesus for strength to keep going, and he'll help you. I like the challenge that Paul gives in his testimony in Philippians, where he says, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind, straining toward what is ahead, I press on to the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Run your race. Worship team, come on up. We're going to sing a song together as we close. And the song just tells us to turn our eyes upon Jesus, which is what we were talking about. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. As we sing this song, if you need to pray, the altars are open up here. It's a great place to pray. Maybe some of you need to make a kind of a new start. Some of you need to get back in the race. Maybe you need to start the race. Maybe you just need help for the race that you're going through. You can pray, and God is here to meet you. Let's stand together. Sing this great song. If you want to pray, come, and we'll pray together.